Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guests are Emily Grime and Megan Stetz from Logistics Plus. In last month's Logistics Plus Business Spotlight segment, we discussed global logistics trends and the increasing demand companies have for importer of record and exporter of record services. As a follow-up to that discussion, this month we have Emily Grime, International Manager of Air Freight and Exports, and Megan Stetz, International Manager of Imports, with us to discuss how global events are severely impacting global transportation capacity and rates, and how Logistics Plus is helping importers and exporters cope with these challenges. Emily, let's start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to Logistics Plus, and tell our listeners what your role with LP is today?
Of course. So I've been with Logistics Plus for a little over 8 years. I came to LP pretty much right out of college. I had studied international business and international relations. I was just looking to work with something in those fields, and logistics is kind of where I ended up. With my time at Logistics Plus, I've been in the export department the entire time, mainly doing air freight. And just from there, have started to do more of a management position and overseeing all of our operations and pricing.
And Megan, we just had you on last month's episode. We welcome you back. Why don't you give our listeners a bit of a refresher about your background and your path to Logistics Plus?
Yes, absolutely. I started with LP, similar to Emily, right after graduation. I went to Behrend. I started in the air imports department as an operator and handled all the air freight into the U.S. And recently I've transitioned into the imports manager and oversee both air and ocean shipments into the U.S. now.
Emily, from an exporter's perspective, what are you seeing on the supply and demand side of things for global transportation services?
So we've been seeing that there's a lot of demand and not much supply in terms of transportation. A lot of the carriers don't have the equipment available that we need, and that is for air freight, ocean freight, trucking, and rail. On the air side, a lot of airlines are still not flying the full passenger aircrafts because there isn't a demand for passengers right now, because during the pandemic, people just haven't either been allowed to travel or don't want to travel. It's something that's starting to open up again. And on the ocean side as well, we're still having issues with container availability, chassis availability, and the same goes with trucking. It seems that there's just more supply of cargo than there is availability on the equipment.
You just mentioned the lack of equipment availability. Was the summer of 2020 the worst you've ever seen it? And how close to pre-pandemic normals are things as of now?
So honestly, the worst was probably at the beginning of this year that I've seen, just because, specifically speaking about air freight, everyone started picking up on the manufacturing side and the buying side, and it seemed like things were starting to go back to normal in terms of freight being moved, but there hadn't been an uptick in available aircrafts, and there was still a container shortage for the ocean side. And then with the additional impact of the Suez Canal blockage, a lot of cargo then got stuck via ocean, and many people were changing their mode of transportation to air freight. So we saw a huge bottleneck where there was just all of this cargo, but not a lot of availability, via air or ocean. I mean, as of now, we're hoping that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, just because more people are traveling via air. So more aircrafts are going back into rotation. We've seen a lot of airlines announce that they're going to start their wide body services again, particularly to Europe, which is huge. So we're hoping that trend keeps, increasing over the summer months. Hopefully with the vaccine coming out, more people will be allowed to travel domestically and internationally. So we're just kind of keeping our fingers crossed on that.
Emily, how are air freight rates looking today, and where do you see them going in the near future?
Oh, I hope they go back down. You know, the air freight rates right now are astronomically high. It's the highest I've ever seen it. So right now, I believe it was at the beginning of the year, air freight rates were, I think, 184% higher than they were at this time in 2019. So, you know, just because there's really no space, like I've said previously, so the airlines are just having to, you know, they keep putting a higher and higher rate out there, A, because they can, and B, because if you really need your freight to get loaded, unfortunately, you kind of have to pay it. We've seen some normalcy come back to the regularly scheduled passenger air freight to China and Europe. It's still probably about double what it was, again, this time in 2019, but it's definitely coming down from what it was last year and earlier this year. So fingers crossed we'll keep in that general direction.
Emily, a two-part question here. When it comes down to the rates, is it all about managing client expectations? And do you have to rethink things a little more when you consider air versus ocean freight costs for your clients?
In terms of travel time, yes. Right now it really is a, do you need your freight or do you have time to wait for it? Unfortunately, if you need it, it has to go via air. And if you need it quickly, unfortunately, you're going to have to pay for it. There really isn't a fast and cheap option anymore. You know, we're seeing increases in rates along air and ocean. So we really try to just talk with our customer and set realistic expectations on when they need the cargo, and how much they're looking to pay for it, and then try to, you know, lead them in the best direction.
Megan, let's turn to you for a moment. Since you focus more on the import side of things, what are some of the issues that importers are facing right now as it relates to transportation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably the biggest issue is the space, especially out far east. It's been nothing shy of challenging. Another difficult part, like Emily kind of segued into, is juggling your lead times. So if a product takes X amount of days or weeks to make, and then the time of transportation involved in that too, it's kind of being able to communicate with your customer and setting those expectations and trying to talk them through, well, if it's going to take this long for your product to be available and you need it by X date, well, you probably have to air freight it, or maybe you have time to send it ocean. So it's just, again, working with the customer about their deadlines and the space issues out of the countries right now.
Megan, it sounds like you have to spend more time now with your customers talking through all of the available options. A, is that in fact true? And B, has that been alleviated at all?
Yes, that's definitely true. I think it's just a part of the job, though. I don't see that impacting my day, I guess. I would want to provide the best service for our customers and make sure that they are getting the best, bang for their buck, if you have to say. So making sure that their shipment's getting in on time, even if they do have to spend the extra money there, or working with them to find those financial savings and booking at ocean. So again, yeah, it's just part of the job and trying to work with your customer. And I think that also in turn makes the customer a little bit more appreciative in the end after taking that extra time.
We talked a little about the air freight market. What's going on right now with ocean containers and rates?
It's currently a bidding war, to put it in the easiest of terms. I don't foresee it changing in the near future. Hopefully we're at a peak, but it's, again, the whole basic supply and demand. There's just so much demand going on, limited supply. These steamship lines and co-loaders can ask for anything, and these customers will buy it. They will book on that container just so that their shipment will move. And again, that goes back to the whole bidding war. People are paying anything they can just to get their freight out. So it's just been increasing by week, these container rates. It's just been a mess, but hopefully there is a light at the end of this tunnel and we'll be able to get out of this whole bottleneck here shortly. But, I've been hearing that it probably won't be resolved until, unfortunately, 2022. So hopefully that will be the end. But because I think everyone last year thought that this would be the year that it would end, and now it seems to be rolling into next year. So I guess time will tell.
Megan and Emily, you've both done a great job so far of explaining the challenges that LP has faced with the higher rates and the limited capacity. How is LP helping its customers work through these challenging times? Megan, we'll start with you for this question.
I know for the import side, and Emily can speak on the export side, we do use a lot of our website platforms in order to pool their data and the volume loads that they have to help prepare to see what type of inventory that they'll have coming in. That's kind of separate from the actual supply of the transportation industry. It's more so focusing on what they have coming in and how we can service them in the best of the best of our capabilities.
Emily, is there anything you'd like to add to that from your perspective side of the business?
It's kind of the same as what Megan said. Just kind of forecasting what people have coming in and seeing how we can kind of best guide them past that. But yeah, other than that, we don't always have a crystal ball to see what they have coming in or what their needs are until they let us know.
Is Logistics Plus able to consult or help companies navigate through the other things like Incoterms, taxes, duties, and tariffs?
Yes, we have an in-house brokerage team that's able to assist on any importing questions, especially in regards to the tariffs or duties. We even offer our customers Incoterm trainings to help clients be more familiar with the terminology too. I believe we are doing in-person trainings now. I'm not entirely sure, but I know throughout the pandemic, we did Teams online trainings to help coach them and navigate through the best ways to ship their freight. So I guess it's just now up to the customer, whatever they're comfortable with, we can accommodate with them.
What sort of regulatory or security considerations come into play as you work with your customers on their imports and exports?
For imports, most of the regulations that would apply are more so commodity specific, which again, our team is able to guide a client through. Our imports team would be able to help guide at a surface level, and then thereafter our compliance team can assist if needed. Emily, I know exports can be rather tedious with the regulations and compliance checks. I don't know if you want to dive a little bit more into that.
Yeah, so for us, it's a little bit more broad. On the air side, we have to deal with Homeland Security and TSA and have to make sure that any air shipments are strictly following their rules and regulations. We also run a denied party search in CargoWise, which is our platform that we use, which will run different companies and contact names that we have against the denied party, meaning basically if someone has been embargoed or has sanctions against them, it would be in the search so we can help our customers with that to make sure that they're staying compliant, not selling to a company they shouldn't be or a person that they shouldn't be. And then also staying up to date with the U.S. embargoes and sanctions and what we can and cannot send to certain countries or, certain countries that we just can't send to in general. And lastly, we also help with the export declarations for our customers. And our compliance team is able to help with that with HS code classification and ECCN classification, things of that nature.
Can you share any recent stories and anecdotes of how Logistics Plus has helped some companies navigate global shipping?
This is not necessarily customer specific, but for imports, we have been offering what's called a fast boat option, and we're able to secure a quicker transit time out of China to LA port. And then from there, we have a local warehouse that handles the dray and transload for an immediate expedite to the customer, wherever that may be. So we can keep it on the West Coast or truck it across the United States to the East Coast. And it just helps expedite the process without having to bear the harsh costs of air freighting. So we've been seeing a lot, an incline of people reaching out about our fast boat services, and we've actually been providing this to current customers as well.
I'd like to get a comment from both of you with this question. I know LP has invested a lot of money in state-of-the-art applications when it comes to managing client expectations. How has better technology changed your roles in recent years when it comes to providing better customer service?
So I think the technology has helped us. A lot of our customers have access to different databases that we have for them, and we can have up-to-date tracking, which is nice because for some of the critical shipments or projects that we work on, a customer can simply log on and we'll actually have, like for air shipments, a little plane that will show where your cargo is, whether it's, you know, over the middle of the ocean on a flight to China or if it is in customs in China sort of thing. So it's nice for them to just have a visual and to be able to see exactly where their cargo is. On the air export side too, I can also tell you that we've had big improvements with, they're called electronic airway bills. So we're basically able to submit all of our customs paperwork electronically with the majority of the airlines that we use. And this allows us to make faster bookings, bookings that are closer to the time of pickup because we don't have to put any time in for original paper documents to arrive at the airline. So that has, I think, helped make the entire process go smoother and quicker.
Yeah, there's definitely different factors that help using technology. I wasn't exactly around for the airway bills. So that was something that was already in place for me, everything being submitted electronically and having our database to even store and hold all of our documents. I was going to touch on the software that we use. It helps significantly. It's one of the well-known freight forwarding systems in the industry right now, and it helps keep track of shipments on a per shipment level. It also has warehousing modules and compliance features as well. So we're able to pinpoint volumes for particular customers or any other relative information. We also utilize our own websites. I think we might have touched on that prior in this call. But so it helps the customers see again, what they're moving with us, where their shipment's at. It also can help from daily shipment tracking to warehouse and inventory management. So a bunch of things like that, little things here and there, but it adds up to make a overall seamless experience for our customer.
Thanks to you both for your great insight into that last question. Another question for Emily. Under the international section of your website, you reference something called hand carry service. Can you explain to our listeners what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So a hand carry is kind of just like it sounds. We actually carry the freight with us on person. You know, a lot of customers will call and they will have an immediate need for a piece of cargo. You know, we've done anything from car equipment that were in 50-pound boxes to, you know, little connectors that are in a box that fits in a purse. And so basically what we offer with this is a carrier will actually come to your facility, pick up the cargo, and someone will fly with it, with your freight to wherever it needs to go, pass it through customs, and have it delivered to either the receiver directly, or if they have someone meet the carrier at the airport. Again, this is just one of the fastest ways of getting freight to an end user, because a person can book a flight, you know, an hour before it leaves or 2 hours before it leaves and still be able to make it and get on the flight with quick connections. With cargo, you're a little bit more restricted. You know, you have a longer cutoff time. You can't just show up an hour before your flight and jump on the plane, because there's strict screening processes. They need to be able to build up the pallets, load them on the plane, that sort of thing. You know, when you have the freight with you, it goes with you on the plane. You can have a tight connection because you're the one that's getting the package off of the plane with you and bringing it to the connecting aircraft. Sorry. I'll start that over. You're the one that is taking the freight with you and then also onto the connecting aircraft. So if you're running with it, it's going to make it as quickly as you do. Whereas when it's under the flight, you know, you have to wait on cargo handlers, the pallet to be unpacked, that sort of thing. So again, you need a longer transit. It also helps it kind of expedite through customs because you're walking it through rather than having to wait for an entire aircraft to unload and be broken down by the airline.
This is a topic that we've talked about repeatedly on this show throughout the last couple of years. Logistics Plus continues to be recognized as a great workplace, and this year LP is celebrating its 25th anniversary. Megan, we'll start with you on this one and get your thoughts on why Logistics Plus is such a great place to work.
It's just the environment and the culture, honestly, that has been created over the past 25 years. It's something that's seems to be unmatched. I'm excited for LP to hit this milestone, and for the years to come that they have.
Emily, let's get your thoughts on why Logistics Plus is such a great place to work and also share your feelings about the upcoming 25th anniversary.
It's sort of the same as Megan said. The culture is just really unique. You know, sometimes you don't feel like you're at work. You're just feel like you're hanging out with your friends while doing work. And I think Jim's done a really good job at building a unique culture where everyone kind of feels safe at work and, you know, having a fun environment to come to every day.
Emily and Megan, once again, thank you so much for your time on this edition of the Business Spotlight featuring Logistics Plus. Are there any other bullet points that you'd like to go over before we wrap up this show?
I think the only thing I probably would like to emphasize that I didn't say, I kind of skimmed over on the passenger versus freighter aspect with air, why it makes such a difference. 60% of all air cargo prior to the COVID-19 pandemic traveled on passenger aircrafts. So when the majority of them went away, that's why it was such a huge impact, you know, on the air cargo business and why rates were starting to skyrocket and why space has really declined. Because there just aren't as many freighter options, nor are there many airlines that offer freighter options.
Wow, that is an incredible number that you just mentioned. 60% of all air cargo traveling on passenger aircrafts prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you tell us what those numbers look like today?
Depending on what publishings you read, the numbers always vary a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, it was 60%. And I don't know what it is right now, but I can't imagine it's very high, seeing as they pulled a lot of the passenger traffic since there was just no demand. And, you know, with the airlines, passengers account for, on average, it's usually about 70% of an airline's revenue.
And that will wrap up this month's edition of Business Spotlight featuring Logistics Plus. We thank Emily Grine, International Manager of Air Freight and Exports, and Megan Stetz, International Manager of Imports, for joining us this month. Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.